Join me in prayer. Father, we do pray that we might have a closer walk with you. I pray, Lord, that we'd be serious about our walk and our faith. I pray that you'd continue to sanctify us and that we would relinquish the things of this world to be followers of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We are back in Matthew 7, verse 7 this morning. We started this particular verse last week as Christ is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7, 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." As we learned last week, that this promise by Christ isn't a promise for materialism or self-fulfillment. It is totally misused by the health and wealth crowd. That this promise of Christ is a promise to find grace and power to live the Christian life as Christ outlined it in chapter 6 and chapter 7, if we ask, if we seek, if we knock. Chapter 6 and chapter 7 are a challenge for Christian living. He tells us to forgive others, to practice our faith without an outward religiosity, to lay up treasures in heaven versus treasures here on earth. We're told to serve God and not mammon. We're not supposed to worry. And we shouldn't judge, but we should help our fellow Christians as we all strive to live a Christ-like life. Well, when you look at this list, at the end you ask yourself, how in the world am I going to do this? It's a tall order. Well, Christ answers that question for us by telling us to ask, seek, and knock. And if you look at these words, ask, seek, and knock, there is an implied graduation in intensity. Asking, seeking, knocking. Which begs the question this morning, are you intense about your faith? Are you committed to your faith? Are you a pursuer of God? You see this call to intensity throughout the Bible. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, where Christ was teaching on another occasion about prayer, but the language is very similar to what we see in Matthew chapter 7. And if you look at verse 5 of Luke chapter 11, it says, and this is Jesus talking, he says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Christ is calling us to be persistent. We should be persistent in our prayer life. We should be persistent in our faith. We should live the Christian life with intensity. All throughout the Bible, you see God's desire for His people to be intense in search for Him. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 10. This refers to the captivity at Babylon. And the prophet Jeremiah wrote in verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me." Now look at what he says in verse 13. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When you search for me with all your heart. "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." You see this call for intensity again in Proverbs 8:17. Proverbs 8:17, it reads, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently. Those who seek me diligently will find me." So far we've seen persistence. We've seen the phrase, "search for me with all your heart." We see diligently. And now in Deuteronomy 10:12, we see the essence of the law. It reads, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Well, how about the New Testament? Well, in Mark 12, starting in verse 28, it reads, "Then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, and asked him," referring to Jesus, "which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all of the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" Heart, soul, mind, strength. You know, when you think about where the American church is right now, there are a lot of people who you could categorize as casual Christians. Casual Christians. They're not concerned about seeking God. They're not concerned about knowing God's will in their life. They're not concerned about holiness or righteousness. They want to give a little bit to God on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week is reserved for them. 1 hour for God, the rest of the week for themselves. You will never, ever, ever see that type of believer outlined by Christ in Scripture. He has called us to be diligent, to be persistent. He's called us to pursue Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. In America, we have church attendance tremendously down, Bible readings down, prayers down, and people are not seeking God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. You do not find a casual believer outlined in Scripture. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:14 said, "Stand therefore, having girded your faith with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance." With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're called to be diligent. We're called to persevere. We're called to ask, to seek, to knock. In other words, we should have a heart for God. We should have a heart in pursuing God and following Him. Now, wouldn't it be easy if we just had to ask once? Wouldn't that be great? For us to just casually mention the things to God in prayer just once. In fact, one time I was asked that. I was asked, why do we even have to pray? Because God knows what we need. So why do I have to pray? When we pray, when we ask and seek and knock, when we pursue God with all diligence and perseverance, we show that we recognize that He's the Lord, that He's the provider of all things. When we get that prayer answered in our life, we know that it's not from out of our strength, but it's from God. It's from God who allows us to accomplish living the Christian life. I'm reminded of Isaiah 55:8, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways." God wants us to seek Him, and He does things a little differently than the way we would do them, doesn't He? And I want to point out in Scripture in the Old Testament something in this regard. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. If you grew up in church, this is a story that you've known since childhood. It's the Battle of Jericho. And if you looked at verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city at once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now, if I was the general of the children of Israel, I don't think I would devise a battle plan like that, would I? That we're going to go march and we're going to blow some horns, and then the walls, as the song says, come tumbling down. God operates different, doesn't He? See, when we ask and we seek and we knock and we pursue God consistently, God reveals His way to us. It's just like when the Apostle Paul said that he prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. But he didn't get that answer, did he? Christ told him that he would be strong through weakness. God operates differently than we do. And for us to know the Lord, for us to be shaped by God, we have to be persistent in our pursuit of Him. Now, that was Joshua 6. But let's turn to Joshua 7. And when you look at Joshua 7, here after this mighty victory, they find defeat. Why do they find defeat? They find defeat because they weren't supposed to take anything with them in the fall of Jericho. But one of them named Achan takes forbidden things. And I want you to look at this because it's so important as we think about asking, seeking, and knocking. They fall at Ai, and Joshua falls down. God tells him to get up, and he explains to Joshua that there's someone in sin. And so he goes to Achan in Joshua 7, verse 20. In fact, let's go to 19 first. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to Him and tell me now what you've done. Do not hide it from me." And look at what happens in verse 20. "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver in a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it.'" What did Achan do? We've been talking about this on Sunday mornings in Bible study. The first sin began with I saw. I saw that the tree was good, that the fruit was good. Here we have Achan. He saw, he coveted, and then he went and he hid it in his tent. That cost the life of Achan and his family, and it caused initial defeat at Ai. See, my friends, when we hide things in our tent, we're not asking, seeking, or knocking. Because you cannot pursue God with intensity if you've got a secret sin. You're not going to be victorious. Just like the children of Israel weren't victorious initially at Ai because they had sin in the camp. How many times do we pretend that we can do both? We pretend that, oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but you've got sin in your heart. You're not pursuing God. And when you think about it, it could be anything from an egregious secret sin to just, on the other hand, wanting to do things your own way. You don't want to make time for God. You don't want to worship God. You don't want to read the Bible. I'm amazed when people tell me they don't have time to read the Bible, but then they'll tell me all of the things that they've done, all of the television shows that they've watched. Are you a pursuer of God if you do not set aside time for Him? See, you can have victory in living the Christian life, but it calls for removing the sin from your life. and then pursuing God. And the wonderful thing about Matthew chapter 7 is, about asking, seeking, and knocking, is it is a definitive promise. It doesn't say, ask, seek, and knock, and maybe. It doesn't say that. It says, ask, seek, and knock, and you will. You will. That's the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible wants us to pursue Him. We cannot pursue Him with sin in our life. The other thing that we have to realize is that there is a purpose in pursuing God with intensity. See, God's just not asking us to do something just because He can. There is a purpose. And in fact, if you would, turn with me to James chapter 1. If you look at James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Lacking nothing. Well, let's break that down a little bit. You know, that's a verse that we read, you kind of get familiar with, you kind of just hit the high points. But think about it this way. I'm in a trial, or you're in a trial. The testing of your faith produces patience. Now, sometimes we hear the word faith and it's just like, oh, faith. What is that? The testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, you are pursuing God for the answer in your life as you go through the trial. That's true faith, isn't it? I mean, I could say that faith is just to say, well, I intellectually acknowledge the existence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. Intellectual acknowledgement is not faith. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of people here in America today who believe that they are going to go to heaven because they intellectually acknowledge the existence of God. That is not faith. Faith is the application of the teachings of God in your life, where you are a Christ follower in all that you do. So when you are in a trial, you are then applying your faith, and the application of your faith produces patience, and patience has its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. In other words, asking, seeking, knocking, and pursuing God, and having that definitive promise from Jesus Christ that you will find. He wants us to be servants of His every single moment of the day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night. Every single day that we live our life, we should live it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this wonderful promise that as we seek Him, we will find. I'd like to close with Lamentations 3, starting in the 22nd verse. It says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." That's a promise, isn't it? The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. My friends, if we ask, seek, and knock, if we pursue Him with all diligence, God will be good to us as we serve the Lord with Him in faith. Let's stand for prayer. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you something this morning. As you think back how you lived your life this last week, did you pursue God? Did you seek Him? Did you ask, seek, knock? Is He at the top of your list in your life? Are you just casually living the Christian life. Christ didn't die on the cross so that you could be a casual believer. He wants you committed. He wants you to seek Him. And you have all those wonderful promises in the Bible if you will just seek the Lord. If you're casual in your faith, just right now, right where you're at, just recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a believer. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never asked Christ into your life. If you've never become a Christian, if you're not a Christ follower, all you have to do is ask Christ into your heart this morning. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Repent, which means that you've got to give up your sin. You have to turn to God. You have to acknowledge that He died on the cross and He rose from the grave for you. And you'll have a new life this morning. Our Father, we just thank You this morning. We thank You that not only do You save us, but You also equip us. And I pray, Lord, that we might ask for grace and power as we live our life for You. I pray that we might be committed. I pray if there's someone here this morning that needs to give their life to You or make a decision, that they do so today. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning?